Working Cows Podcast, Episode 44.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. Well, I guess I'm a liar. I said episode 44 would be out next week with Kit Farrell. But we're going to cut in line here with some breaking news from the Global Ag Network. And the Global Ag Network was the brainchild of Mike Pearson and Delaney Howell from Ag News Daily, and they have invited me to join the podcast with them. So I am excited about this opportunity for the Working Cows podcast to be part of a new network of podcasts that's going to be rolling out here in mid to late September. So keep your eyes peeled for that. For right now, there is a splash page up at globalagnetwork.com, but in the coming weeks, that will be being built out into a website where you can go to connect with all the different member podcasts of the Global Ag News Network. So here I'm going to share with you an interview that I did on Ag News Daily today, and it releases on Ag News Daily, and we just talk a little bit about the future of this podcast network, and I'm pretty excited about that. So here is my interview today on Ag News Daily.
Well, folks, for our Wednesday conversation, we are going to be talking to one of the podcasts that is joining the Global Ag Network that we've been talking about for the past week. Today, we are talking to Clay Connery. Clay is from Western South Dakota, the town confusingly named Belle Fourche. He is a cattleman and host of the Working Cows podcast. Clay, thanks for talking to us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, I got to ask you right off the bat, Clay, Working Cows podcast, why'd you start it? What's the idea behind it?
Well, the tagline is to provide producers with a platform to discuss and share paradigm challenging practices. So we're just looking at different ways of thinking, kind of out of the box methods of everything that goes into raising cows, whether that's stockmanship or economics and finance or managing people. You know, one of the early episodes of the Working Cows podcast, one of my guests said that in his mind and in his experience, the biggest barrier to success in a ranching industry, and I think that goes for farming as well, is the management of people and making sure that those transitions are in place and different things like that from one generation to the next.
Absolutely. Clay, let's take a second here and kind of peek behind the Clay Connery curtain. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you do for a living. Obviously, you are a cattleman and you work cows, but tell us some more of your background.
I have, I grew up here in Western South Dakota. I was born and raised here in Belle Fourche, and we always had cows around growing up. You know, both my parents worked in-town jobs kind of to fund their passion to one day ranch full-time, and they have both since retired in 2006 and 2008, I think. They both retired, or maybe it was later, 2012, my mom retired from teaching, and now they are ranching full-time. And then I spent some time away from the ranch, went to Bible school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or just west of Milwaukee in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And then I came back to Belle Fourche, and I've been a pastor for coming up on 12 years in December. And I went back to work at the ranch part-time about a year ago now, and kind of just helping my parents with their transition phase of their ranching careers and different things like that. So been really enjoying and the opportunity to be more involved on a day-to-day basis with the ranch.
And Clay, when you look out at the cow-calf industry, the ranching industry, particularly in the Western Great Plains, what has changed since when you grew up to where you are today as host of the Working Cows podcast?
I think that a lot more concern with continuing education seems to be, you know, I went to a continuing education seminar back in December of 2017, and it was a full house, you know. I mean, there was, and there were, you know, I was one of the younger ones there. There were ranchers my dad's age and older, and, you know, just the open-mindedness and looking at the industry and the changes that we see and the challenges that we see in the future, and seeing that there's going to have to be some changes made to the way we raise cows to meet those different changes and challenges that are coming down the pike.
Clay, I've got to ask, why start a podcast about cattle or working cattle? I mean, you could have started a podcast about anything. I mean, you could have done a Bible podcast since you are a pastor. Why did you decide to talk about cows or cattle in particular?
There was a need in the market, I guess. You know, I think that there isn't a lot of interview-based podcasts that talk to industry leaders and give them a platform to share some of the ways that they've been doing things in a little bit out of the box way. So I just saw a need, and I decided that I would jump in and try and fill the gap that existed there. And, you know, I've always heard podcasters say you should start a podcast, and they're just talking to their general audience saying you should start a podcast. And I never knew what I would talk about. I felt like there were plenty of pastors more qualified than me to talk about the Bible and different things like that. And there were a lot of good podcasts that I listened to. And, you know, I was sitting in a continuing education class, oddly enough. And the teacher, who's been a guest multiple times, actually just this week, he interviewed me, which was a little different. Mm. But anyways, he said somebody should start a podcast for ranchers. And there was a podcast that I listened to every day. And I just kind of modeled my podcast after that podcast. But rather than focusing on libertarian issues, I focus on cows, so, and focus on how we can more effectively run our cow operations.
And Clay, a lot of your episodes have touched on, well, as you mentioned, vastly different subjects. You've talked finance, you've talked grassland management, you've talked, you know, banking, everything. And one of the episodes that really jumped out at me, because it's an issue that I've dealt with my own cow herd, was the one with Kathy Voth from several weeks ago, about training cows to eat weeds. How did you get in touch with Kathy? How do you find your interview subjects?
That was a pretty early on one. I found onpasture.com, and she was the editor, and I reached out to her, and as is pretty much always the case, it seems, she said, well, there'd be somebody better to talk to about that than me. I get that all the time. I don't know about you guys, but it's always,
oh, yeah,
there's somebody better to talk to than that about me. You should talk to my dad. You should talk to this guy. You should talk to that lady. And so she that was how I got in touch with Paul Youngnich for the bale grazing episode. That was one of the first episodes that I released. And then she came back around and shared one of my episodes about converting crop ground back to grass, and she shared that and said, if you ever want to do an episode, or if you ever have episodes that you think would be good for the audience of onpasture.com, let me know. And so I said, well, I would like to do an episode with you. And she said, yeah. And I've been talking about training cows to eat weeds, and we could talk about that. And so we sat down and we chatted about training cows to eat weeds.
Clay, I think for Mike's benefit, you need to do a podcast on training your cows to stay in their space or in their fence.
Yes, we got to get Jim Garish back on and talk about some of those high-powered chargers that he likes.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot I could learn, and a lot I do learn listening to the Working Cows podcast. And Clay, when you are out there, you're talking to folks, you're making those connections, you've interviewed people from Canada, of course, you've interviewed a lot of folks from the Great Plains area. How much of the stuff that you've talked about have you been able, or do you plan on implementing into the family ranch?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. You know, I mean, I think one of the things that we're looking at right now is we're going to keep all of our heifers over this year and try to develop some heifers into the breeding herd. And then if they fall out of the breeding herd, We're going to sell them as yearlings, you know, and kind of let them prove to us. Like I told my dad, I don't want to tell this cow that she's a good cow or a bad cow because of the way she looks. I want her to tell me she's a good cow or a bad cow because she got bred, you know, and that's fertility needs to be the, you know, it drives the bus, as many people have said on my podcast, fertility drives the bus. And we want to let them prove to us that they're a fertile cow and that they fit our system. And then the rest of them, if we develop them at a low enough cost on grass, they're still a profitable animal to sell as a yearling. So that's kind of one of the things that we're looking at implementing here this year.
Clay, let me ask you this. How do you go about picking some of those topics? And do you ever take producer suggestions? Like if they have a specific issue that they have questions to, do you ever do some detective work for listeners?
Yeah, I get emails quite often, people asking for perspective on this or that, and I try to refer them to a local person in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like one of them was, how do I convert some crop ground to grass, some marginal tillable ground back to grass? And so I think that guy was from Wisconsin, so I looked up the Wisconsin equivalent of the Grassland Coalition, and I put him in touch with them. I have had great lists of guests sent to me by different listeners, and I've been working through those lists little by little as I'm able to get people nailed down for interviews and get the interviews recorded and different things like that. So I've had a lot of help there, which is great, because as you know, doing a podcast, you don't have a lot of time to do the research. So when other people are willing to send you the list, that's really helpful. Early on, it was a challenge, you know. You're looking, trying to find who am I going to talk to next, but I've got more people sent to me than I can seem to get done, so it's been good.
That's awesome. Clay, I guess we should also make sure we mention, how often does your podcast come out and what day of the week should folks be looking for it?
Yeah, I try to release a new episode every Monday, try to get it out first thing in the morning on Mondays. There's been a busy, you know, just busy this summer. And so that's been my first summer as a podcaster. Yeah. So I've had some challenges there, but I've been able to get on average one a week out. Sometimes I release two in 1 week, but I've been able to get on average one a week out since I started in November.
Now, Clay, I want to take us up to the big picture. You are in the Great Plains. You're working with cattle producers. A lot of our listeners are conventional row crop growers, or we've got folks out in the East and the West Coasts who have very different ecosystems, very different styles of agriculture. Tell us, what is happening in the Great Plains? We hear a lot about the aging of farmers. What are some of the concerns you hear from listeners or folks you talk to about ranching in the Great Plains?
You know, I think that the transition is a big one. You know, the same thing, aging of ranchers. I think the average age of a rancher is in the early 60s now. And so that is a concern as well. You know, then you've got the fake meat or whatever hashtag you want to throw on that one. You know, that seems to be a concern. I did have an episode recently with Cody Creelman, who's a vet up in Alberta, Airdrie, Alberta, Canada, and he went to a conference on fake meat. And he spoke from a cattle veterinarian perspective on the issue. And, you know, he had some, I think, comforting things to say about it. Like, they're basically, at this point, capable of producing the equivalent of spam or mechanically separated chicken. So, you know, not terribly a big threat to the ribeye market, but still, you know, something that we got to keep an eye on, and I think is going to be a challenge to us in how we raise meat and how we tell the story of where our meat came from and how that animal was raised from birth through slaughter and all those things, I think, are going to be an important way that we can deal with those challenges.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess we follow the fake meat scene, so to speak, quite a bit, and I've never heard it compared to spam before.
Yeah, makes sense, though.
Yeah.
That's what they're, you know, ground meat, spam. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a helpful comparison.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Sure.
And that's the kind of thing I think, as a cattle producer, we need to get that word out there, right. You know, ASAP. Spam, don't worry about it.
Right. We need to market that story. Clay, I have kind of a silly question, but can you shed some light for me on why folks classify as either farmers or ranchers? Is it just you have to raise livestock to be a rancher? I've never quite understood that division.
I think the, you know, percentage of your income probably is a big part of it. You know, I mean, a lot of ranchers do some raising of crops, mostly forage crops, and harvesting of those crops. Although I think another transition in the industry that we're seeing is these people are recognizing the fact that I can't justify keeping this tractor, baler, swather, all of that running for the number of weeks that I get to use it and the number of tons of hay I get to put up. And so we see a lot more custom haying coming in. I think that how long are you owning that cow? Is that cow coming from another place and you're just finishing it out? You know, some of those things are the difference between farming and ranching. You know, the farmers are the ones that are doing the row crops. The farmers are the ones that are the majority of their time is spent tending those crops, whether those are forage crops or grain crops.
Okay, that makes sense. I appreciate you shedding some light on that for me. Clay, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. And we're very excited to have you be part of the Global Ag Network here when we roll out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I think it's a great opportunity for all of us to kind of share the heavy lifting and make that load a little bit lighter and provide a platform for hopefully more podcasts to come on board. And, you know, a rising tide raises all ships, I guess.
Perfect. I like that.
Well, as I said, very excited about this new opportunity with the Global Ag News Network and to be a part of the Global Ag Network of podcasts, and really excited about what that means for the future of working cows. So please continue to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review, and we will see what the future holds for the Working Cows podcast. We will be back on Monday with an episode with Kit Farrow for episode 45 of the Working Cows podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.